Blog Talk Radio.
Up, everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports of the Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey man, how's it going?
Man, I'd be lying to you if I said I felt good, man. After I saw what I saw the Mets do just a few seconds ago, man, I'm gonna get into that, man. Like, I want to thank you, Mac, for coming on. You know.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime, man.
And you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, thank you for coming out. You know, showing your support. You know, on today's show, we're gonna be talking about the Mets, how they've been doing before and after this All-Star break against the Pirates. You know, Pete Alonso winning the All-Star, the back-to-back home run derbies. We'll also talk about the NBA Finals going on as we speak right now. You know, we're going to get into that. Talk about a Rangers trade that happened with, you know, making a trade with the defending world champions, Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll also, of course, talk about the NBA Finals with the Suns and Bucks and, you know, the Knicks rumors surrounding, you know, their potential point guard of the future. And, and I guess we'll talk about, you know, what's the week of, you know, wrestling. And they're going to have an upcoming Money in the Bank tomorrow. You know, of course, if you want to see the Money in the Bank preview, please feel free to check out last week's episode where we gave a full review. I mean, I should say a full preview. I mean, we're not Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman gives spoiler alerts before the event actually happens. But we gave a preview. But if you come back next week, same time, same place, we will give you the review then. But, you know, most importantly, you know, we'd love to hear from you about any of these topics and more. That number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics again. The floor is yours. But, yeah, man, yeah, before we even got on the air, before I get to, you know, what's going on in the world of sports, the world of, you know, entertainment, lost two, you know, icons of their various fields. You know, one is, of course, Biz Markie. You know, the, you know, legendary, you know, rapper, you know, since the 80s, you know, beatboxer extraordinaire.
DJ.
You know, DJ, he just, unfortunately, he passed away. I think he was 57, if I'm not mistaken. And then, of course, in the wrestling world, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff also passed away, too, after battling some health issues, you know, over the years. So, you know, my condolences to the families of both men. You know, they'll definitely be missed, and their impact, you know, in the entertainment field will, you know, live forever.
Yeah, no question. You know, two greats. Paul Orndorff had one of the great physiques, you know, in wrestling history. you know, one of the legends of wrestling. And he was part of that golden era, you know, of that 80s wrestling, you know. So he'll be missed. And this marquee, you know, known as the Clown Prince of hip-hop, DJ, comedian, actor, rapper. You know, he did it all, but he's prominent for his song, Just a Friend, in which I just played on my podcast. But, you know, another legend I'll be missed. So rest in peace to both.
Yeah, definitely rest in peace. Yeah, Just a Friend is definitely my favorite song of his. And that's like the only song when you could think about in history that you know, even if you sing it off key, you know, you're not going to mess it up because, you know, it was just a, you know, iconic song. You know, he just perfectly sang that song off key. You know, it just highlighted the, you know, the pain he felt, you know, finding that his girl wasn't faithful to him. And, you know, basically, you know, she's lying to him saying that, you know, the guy who, you know, who was on the other line of the phone was just a friend. And, you know, he had his suspicions, but he gave her the benefit of the doubt until, you know, well, you would have to see the video. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you have seen it already, but in case that there's maybe a few people who haven't seen it, then, you know, you'll see what I'm talking about. But, yes, rest in peace to both men, for sure. Yes, but, you know, moving on, you know, I thought, you know, I would have been talking about, you know, Pete Alonso's, you know, incredible performance at the money, I mean, at the, you know, the Home Run Derby, which I guess I'll get into that. But, yeah, unfortunately, before I get into that, I gotta talk about the Mets, how they've been playing against the Pirates just before this All-Star break and then right after the All-Star break. I mean, it's just embarrassing. You know, they split the series. They had a huge lead. I can't remember how big the lead was. They were 5-0 in that game Sunday afternoon. Or was it Sunday night? I can't even remember. Sunday they had the lead, 5-0 lead. They blew that game and lost it at home to even the series with them, 2-2. Instead of finishing the All-Star break with a 3-1, you know, record against the Pirates, they split the series 2-2. Then yesterday, Stroman, you know, he pitched an okay game. He gave up 2 runs. He had an infamous verbal altercation with Nogsmith. I forgot how you pronounce the guy's name. Let me see how you pronounce the guy's name. I think this loss, man. They lost that game yesterday. It off. They had a 6-0 lead. JD Davis hit 2 two-run home runs, and then they just let the game slip away. They just let the game slip away, and Diaz just spit the bit, man. Like two games in a row, he just blew it. I mean, it just shows you can't trust this guy, man. Just when you think you could trust a guy, he just blows it. Like
it's just. Who does Diaz think he is? Chapman?
I guess so, man. Yeah, man, it's just... And it happened just before I got on the air. You know, it's just disgusting. Downright disgusting. You just give up... you know, they had a 1-run lead. Vimo, who rarely homers, hits a home run to put an insurance run because... May didn't pitch good the eighth inning either, and this bullpen, man, this bullpen is so shaky, and what's his name, Rojas, man, it's just like he just has an itchy finger to like go into this bullpen so early. I mean, not in this instance, it wasn't so early because the guy Miguel, he pitched six good innings, scoreless innings, might I add, you know. And then, of course, the guy at Blankenhorn, he knocks in what, you know, would have been, what was it, the sixth run, which, you know, obviously when you have a 6-0 lead, you would have thought it would have been more than enough. But in this bullpen, man, once this bullpen comes, it's scary. And it's not scary in a good way. I mean, you think Diaz, who was great, who was dominant with the with the Mariners, you know, he pitched good for the most part in the first half until, you know, he had a couple of blown saves towards the end. And of course, not to mention him in non-safe situation, how he just stinks. But Rojas just keeps putting him in these situations where you know, in a non-safe situation where he blows the game. I mean, that wasn't the case here because obviously it was a safe situation, but he just loaded up all the bases and gives up a two-out grand slam. I mean, it's frustrating. This team is a pretender. I'm sorry, man. I love the Mets.
Wow.
I've been a Mets fan.
Wow.
I know this seems like an overreaction, but the way how they're playing against the Pirates. You know what I'm saying? Like what's his name?
But the Pirates are good this year?
No, they're not. They're bottom. They're bottom dwellers in
oh,
cellar dwellers, man. Like they're not good this year. Barry
I guess better
team.
Than past years, I guess.
You know what I'm saying? Like this isn't like back in the day. This isn't Willie Stargell's We Are Family, and they just kick our butts, man. Like this is embarrassing. It's like so embarrassing. They might even sell some of their players to us in this before the trading deadline, and it's just embarrassing.
Fernando Tatis.
No. Fernando Tatis is in the Padres.
Oh yeah, right. I was thinking Padres instead of Pirates for some reason.
Yeah, but you could say the Pirates are Padres number two because they've been our daddies this week or so. Like, I mean, come on, man. This is a joke. No wonder there's rumors that the other teams in our division don't take us seriously, because you would have thought Braves would have been out of would have been sellers because Acuña Jr. is out for the rest of the year, and that's a messed up situation for the Braves, you know.
So
you know, well, what were you gonna say?
I'm watching the highlight of Diaz giving a home run.
That's not a highlight. That's not a highlight. That's a low light. Unless if you're a Pirate or a Yankee fan. Oh, yes, I forgot. You are a Yankee fan.
Well,
so it is a highlight.
Well, here's the thing. I'm watching the clip of it, and he points up. He thinks it's a pop-up.
Yeah,
at first.
Man, he did his best Hansel Robles impression, because Hansel Robles, before he became, I guess, a decent closer, I think, with the Angels or so, every time when there's a ball in the air, he points up like if it's a pop up, and then it goes right out of the ballpark. He pulled his teammates, impression of his former teammate, Hansel Robles, pointing up in the air like it's a routine pop up in the infield, and then the ball goes out of the ballpark. Kidding me? You blow a 6-0 lead to the stupid Pirates. No offense to the Pirates and their fans, but. This team, you're supposed to be a championship caliber team, and you blow a game like this. Come on. And you know what? Fine. You know what? I'll tip my cap to the Pirates, because at least even though they have a horrible record, they're not laying down. Like I've been saying about the Mets for all these years. It don't matter how good or bad the teams are when they face the Mets. They see that NY on the hat in the jersey. They get up for them, and that's why they blew the division in 07, in 08.
Meet the Mets
to the Marlins and the Nationals, and they're doing it again. You know what I'm saying? Like this is a wake up call. This is a wake up call. They can't just throw their hat on the field and think they're gonna win this division without doing anything. They had blew a 6-0 lead, and in the last game of the season of the first half, they blew a 5-0 lead to the same team. Like, come on, it's frustrating. I'm tired of seeing all my teams lose, man. They need to get their act together. The Mets need to get their act together. The trading deadline is coming up in what? In the 30th. And this horrible loss is ruining the whole positive vibe of this team. You know what I'm saying? They're holding onto the division by the hair on their chinny chin chin. DeGrom is hurt. You know, he has a forearm issue. He was supposed to pitch tomorrow, but we don't know when he's going to pitch. You got Lindor injured. He has an oblique problem that he had running out yesterday's game. So he's going to be gone for weeks, tearing his oblique. Now the season is bleak for the New York Mets because they're not playing to the.
I mean, he's still in first.
Yeah, we're in first place, but we're just letting the lead just get chipped away little by little. They should have been up by like 8 games if they were playing the way they should have lately. You know what I'm saying? Like it's frustrating.
Nationals are playing better.
Yeah, that's my whole point. Schwarber, before he got hurt, he was carrying that team, and I saw it firsthand. This guy hit like 4 or 5 home runs against the Mets in the recent series we played against them. You know, I mean, these teams are not going away. The Phillies are not going away. The Pirates are not going – not the Pirates. Well, I mean, obviously, the Pirates are not in our division anymore, but, I mean, they're taking it to us, man. It's not even funny. Like, the Phillies are still in it. The Braves are still in it. The Nationals are still in it. Like, it's not a joke, man. The Marlins may even think they have a chance to have Derek Jeter come out of retirement and whoop our behind too.
Hey, you never know.
At this rate.
You never
know.
Come
on. I mean, but seriously, it's embarrassing. Come on. Like, what are they doing? They ruined the whole vibe, positive vibe of this team that we've had all year the bench mob, you know, consisting of Peraza, Billy McKinney, who they unfortunately just recently designated for assignment, VR. I'm trying to think of other players off the team that they had that was producing. You know, Guillorme, all these other guys who was producing, who's been producing for the team. And now that when they looked like they were going to get the full lineup back, then the injuries struck again, and they can't. It's like if the offense isn't doing well, the bullpen isn't doing good. If the bullpen is doing good, then the offense can't score any runs for them. It's frustrating. And yes, we're in the lead. Yes, by like I don't know. Two or three games. I'd have to double check to see what the standings are right now, but it's not looking good. You know, these other teams are not going away. They don't take us seriously. They really need to get their act together. I don't know if they're going to be able to do a Bryant trade. The Jose Berrios trade looks like it's going to be most likely not going to happen because they have a year of the Twins have a year of control for him, so there's no rush for them to trade him. But then again, it could be a ploy by the Twins to try to stir the Mets to offer up more, you know, to make the Mets be in a desperation mode.
So you think there's a chance that Mets might not make the playoffs?
Yes, there's a chance because their only chance of making the playoffs is winning the division. The West is dominating all the wild card spots and the division. So,
that's for sure. I definitely agree with you that the wild card spots are probably gonna come from the West.
Yeah, it's National League East division are bust. Yeah, I mean, come on, they have to win this division. They cannot let the Braves win up for what, a fourth or fifth straight year in a row, and they don't even have Acuna. Come on, like, it's ridiculous. I don't even know what to say. I'm just speechless. I mean, you know, I'm thinking this is gonna be a good vibe. You know, they're leading the division. You know, Alonso, he put on a show at the All-Star break. You know, everybody was looking forward to seeing him facing Otani, you know, the star pitcher / slugger from the Angels. And, you know, we never got that matchup because, he got upsetted by Soto, Juan Soto, obviously from the Nationals. And, yeah, they had an epic, battle, you know. But, you know, Soto at that very end of that sudden death thing, you know, he hit three home runs in all three of his opportunities. Whereas, you know, Otani, he was getting tired, you know, and you would think so because obviously this guy, you know, he's been a great pitcher and a slugger. You know, that's going to take a toll on you. So, yeah, So, you know, Alonso, you know, defeated Soto. Then I'm trying to think. Who did he defeat before Mancini? Oh, yeah, it was Trevor Story, a guy who's been rumored to even be traded to the Mets, even as a third baseman, which, I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. As a rental, but I don't see that happening myself. And then afterwards, he defeated Trey Mancini, you know, from the I think the Orioles. So, you know, congrats to Pete, the polar bear, and Dave Joust, you know, being a wonderful you know, he pitched well in that bullpen, you know, for the home run derby. And this was the last time he was, you know, in a home run derby since he was throwing to Nomar Garcia-Para. I think that was in 99. So, you know, congrats to Pete Alonso and, Dave Joust for their performance. And then the All-Star game, you know, obviously DeGrom didn't pitch, rightfully so he didn't pitch. You know, battling injuries, you know, pitching in Colorado, you know, isn't the best experience for a pitcher anyway.
Oh, snap.
What are you going to say?
Oh, snap. No, I just – Giannis, so I'm watching the Bucks-Suns game, and the Suns are down one with 27 seconds left. Booker has the ball, and he gets the ball stripped by Jrue Holiday, and then they come down the court, and he lobs it to Giannis, who slams the alley-oop and gets fouled in the process, putting the Bucks up by three. So it looks like Bucks are going to hold on. Right now they're up three with over 13 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Bucks are not playing. Ooh, boy.
Oh, and Bucks got it back again.
Wow.
Man, Giannis is going to be MVP if they win this championship. He had those back-to-back 40-point games. I mean, without him in this series, Bucks probably don't have a shot. And Bucks, yeah, you know, for the last several years, they've been, like, getting close to the NBA Finals. You know? Yeah. Till now. Yep. So this year might be their year.
Shout out to Milton with, you know, so far 28 points. As he tries to tack on one, he hits the free throw And yeah, this game looks like it's on ice for the Bucks. The Bucks look like they're gonna go, barring a miracle, they're going to go up 3-2 in this NBA Finals and go to Phoenix and get their first title since 71.
Yep.
When Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was still known as Lew Alcindor back in those days. So it's a great time to be a Bucks fan right now.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Looks like the Bucks stops here for the Suns.
Well, at least for tonight.
Yeah. So, yeah, Suns got to obviously, the game isn't officially over, but the Suns are going to have to use their home court advantage to try to get this series, especially force it to Game 7. Yeah, we'll keep you posted on that. And then of course with the Yankees, Yankees and the Red Sox, they've had, you know, COVID scare. Some of their players have had it, and quarantine, and you know, they lost that 4-0 game. But what's your thoughts on the state of the Yankees right now?
Yeah, the Yankees, they had 6 players test positive for COVID. So right now you have Aaron Judge, Gio Urshela, Kyle Higashioka, Jonathan Loaiza, Nestor Cortez Jr., and Wendy Peralta. They're in the COVID-19 protocol right now. So the Yankees are missing those players, and right now they're playing with some players that they called up from the minors. They're up right now. It looks like 3-1, top of the 7th inning, even though right now there's a rain delay currently. But Sanchez and Torres, they both hit home runs in this game, and Cole has 11 strikeouts so far, only top of the 7th. So it looks like Yankees, if they can hold on, they'll win this game. After yesterday's loss to the Red Sox are 7-0 against the Yankees this season. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, that's the third time the Red Sox have started a series against the Yankees 7-0 in wins. So hopefully Yankees can get the win tonight and maybe get the win tomorrow to win the series. But this Yankee offense, you know, it's been poor all season long, up and down. And even like the Red Sox broadcaster said yesterday, he said the Yankee offense has been horrible. If George Steinbrenner was still alive, he would fire both Cashman and Boone. They would have already been gone.
Mm-hmm.
No question about that. That's what I missed about Steinbrenner. He was like the ultimate owner. Mm-hmm. You know, he went out, got players that the fans wanted. You know, it was a win or get fired type policy. Mm-hmm. With,
yeah,
Steinbrenner.
That's my point.
You know?
If you don't win, you're going to get a pink slip and go home.
Yeah. And, you know, that's like at any job. You know, if you don't do your job well, expect there's going to be consequences, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And George instilled that in these players and managers, that you guys better go out there and win or, your job might be on the line. And at any job, you got to make sure, you know, you're successful. Or else, you know, there's always someone else that's under you that's going to take your position. But, you know, this team, right, all season long, they've just been so inconsistent. You know, and, I mean, they're still battling for a playoff spot right now. But I don't know, man. I don't know how far they can go even if they make it to the playoffs. I just don't get that feeling that they can go far this year. You know, I don't have that feeling this year for some reason.
Yeah, I hear you. You don't see
kinda
that?
Like, kind of like you do with the Mets, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, they're not a championship caliber team. Or at least they're not playing like it right now.
Yeah, I mean, my emotions with the Mets, it's been up and down, you know, like, you know, because there's a bunch of ifs. It's like, you know, if the guys can stay healthy, the offense can stay healthy and be consistent. And then, of course, you know, the pitchers pitch up to what they've been doing so far. You know, they have a shot. But it's like they've been so – the offense is like the main culprit. Like, they don't really score that many runs. I mean, they did today, but the bullpen let it go. It's like you can't trust Diaz. You know what I'm saying? And now you guys are going through it. The same thing with Chapman. Like, these guys, man, they're just so shaky. I mean, I know everybody can't be Mariano Rivera, but I mean, like, I mean, come on. Like,
I mean, these days, honestly, you don't get many Mariano Riveras or Trevor Hoffmans. You know, you don't get guys like that, you know. They're one in a dozen, you know.
Dude, even Trevor Hoffman was shaky. Trevor Hoffman was shaky in the playoffs. I mean, you saw that firsthand in the World Series, the 98 World Series, and the All-Star games and stuff like that. Even he was shaky. I mean, obviously, the guy had, like, what, 600 saves or so. But even he was shaky, too. Like, I mean, trust me, being a closer is an extremely difficult job. It's like being an umpire. You know, if people know your name, you know, then you're not really doing your job, really. I mean, you're supposed to just do your job and not be noticed, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if people are talking about closer, most chances are not, it's not a good thing. So.
Yeah.
And then you got Chapman. He won. Yeah, he's a champion. He's a world champion. He won a title, but the game seven against the Indians, he blew that game. If Joe Bush and the offense didn't save his bacon, he wouldn't have any titles either.
Well, you know, Chapman this year, you know, it's been an ugly season. It's been very ugly. You know, he's been very inconsistent. I mean, I haven't seen him pitch this poorly ever. You know his numbers. If you look at his numbers are not that bad, but still.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
He's still giving up a lot of, there's been a lot of games this year where he's given up lone saves.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, man.
And he started off strong.
Yeah. Yeah. He started off strong, but lately it's like he's been horrible. So I don't know what they do with him going forward. But, yeah, I mean, I know the closer job, it's a hard job to begin with, you know. But, you know, like I said, you don't get many great closers, you know. There aren't many great closers in the game to begin with. So just have to pretty much take what you've been dealt with, you know. Diaz, the Mets are stuck with Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
So they're gonna have to.
I know there's rumors that, you know, if they do successfully get Chris Bryant, Kimball might be part of that deal too, allegedly. But I don't see any of these guys coming to be one of each other's setup men. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
either sharing the load or one of these guys are gonna have to suck it up and be a setup man, because Diaz as a in non-safe situation is horrible, so that wouldn't be an ideal spot for him anyway. And Kimball, I mean, he's one of the best closers in the game. I don't think he obviously wouldn't want to come in a situation where he's a setup guy. I mean, that's why Brad Hand didn't sign with the Nationals and not the Mets, because the Nationals guaranteed him a spot. But, yeah, but shifting gears, yeah, it is official. The Bucks win by the final score of 123-119. So the Bucks are one win away from winning their second ever championship. And now the Suns have to win Game 6 and Game 7 back-to-back in order for them to win their first ever championship.
Yes. I think the Bucks got this series wrapped up.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to speak to my friend because he'll lose $150.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're going to have to so Bucks have a chance to wrap it up at home, you know, this Tuesday night. So yeah, this is a must win for both teams when you think about it. Bucks, you know, they don't want to blow the 3-2 lead and go to Phoenix and lose the advantage and the momentum. And then you got the Suns. Obviously, they're in a do or die situation. They gotta win this series. They gotta tie up this series in order to force a game seven in Phoenix. So yeah, man, this has been an exciting series for sure.
Oh yeah, no question about it.
So yeah, so Suns are gonna try to win game. You know, game 6 on the road in Milwaukee, and on Tuesday night, and then if there is a game 7, that's going to be on Thursday night in Phoenix. So we'll definitely give you our thoughts on what's going to go down with that. So yeah, game 6 is definitely going to be a must-watch game for sure.
Oh yeah, no question.
And yeah, props to Giannis, 32 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. And then you got Middleton stepping up as well, 29 and 7 as well. And then Jrue Holiday, you know, can't forget about his contribution. I mean, you know, he had 27 points and 13 assists. And he made every assist count because now the Bucks are one win away from the title. And, you know, you got to feel bad. On the other side, you got to feel bad on the Suns side. You got Devin Booker scoring 40 points. Chris Paul, 21 and 11. But, and then a double-double for Ayton, you know, 20 and 10 as well. You know, both teams. You know, they're really playing their heart out. You know, they're putting it out on the floor, and you know, unfortunately, they gotta be a winner. So,
yeah,
we'll know by Thursday night, maybe even as early as Tuesday night, who the winner is, who is the next world champion of basketball, and yeah, this goes back to the Knicks, you know, because obviously there's rumors that Knicks might, you know, trade for Paul, or Paul might even opt out. You know, of course, Damian Lillard, there's been rumors that he might demand a trade to the Knicks. Knicks might be on top of his priority. I mean, he denies that he said anything. If he said anything, he would make it public. And then you got the rumor that was really buzzing this past week was the trade for Colin Sexton. And, of course, you got Lonzo Ball, who's a free agent. Kyle Lowry as a free agent also.
I what's that song? I want Sexton.
Oh my
remember that song?
Was that
the song? You don't remember that song? I think it was "I Want Sex," and it was some type of R&B or rock song, I think. You don't remember that?
What is this, from the '80s or nineties?
I think it was from the '80s. I'm gonna have to find it. Was it George Michael that sang it? I don't know if it was George Michael. I used to hear it all the time in those music infomercials.
I probably have heard of it. I did just not ringing a bell.
But the point I'm trying to make is I want Sexton. You know, I want him to be on the Knicks. Because this guy, he could be a very good fit here in New York.
He's a blue chipper.
And he plays defense, too. So he'd be an excellent fit.
Yeah, I hear you, man. He'd be great. I mean, I think I agree with you. I think they should definitely get him, for sure. Sexton, for sure. I mean, he's young. I mean, he has all the potential. He could score. He plays defense. And, you know, he can only get better and better, you know. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I'd love to have Damian Lillard. But the good thing about Sexton, he's a young guy. He's a guy who could grow with this young offense. And he reportedly won't cost you as much as going after these veteran guys like, you know, Damian Lillard. Paul, he's expected to opt out, but I don't think they're going to let Paul go, and I don't think Paul's going to leave his situation in Suns. I mean, he's this close to winning a title. I don't think he's going to leave. So that's what I think. So, yeah, I mean, as long as you get any of those guys, I mean, I'm good. Because at the end of the day, I just want the Knicks to end this drought, man. I mean, the Knicks, man, they haven't won since 2 years after the Bucks won their last title. So, I mean, come on. It's been a while. It's been a long time. And the Bucks are going to win on their 50th anniversary, when you think about it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's looking like that.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, whatever point guard is going to help us win the title, I'm all for it. Let's just get it done. But, yeah, speaking of titles, congrats to the Rangers. They made a move, you know, earlier today. They acquired Barkley Goodrow. He's from the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's a forward. You know, he won two championships on the back-to-back championship Tampa Bay Lightning teams. And, you know, he's hoping to pull a Messier and help the Rangers win a title. And him winning a third straight championship. All things go well under the new manager, Gerard Gallant. So we'll see what happens. You found the song you were looking for?
No, I haven't found it yet.
That's what I heard. Let me see. So, you know, good luck with Goodrow. And the Rangers, and I think they also made another trade also earlier that they also.
Oh yeah, I think I found it now. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. This is gonna remind you.
Yeah, I forgot how.
Does that ring a bell now?
Yeah, I think it's called Sex and Candy.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Marcy Playground, yeah. That's a song.
Yeah, I heard it in a 90s playlist thing that I heard it.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier. I've heard it in those infomercial those music infomercials whenever they sell those mix collections, those music mix, and I remember it. So when you brought up Sexton's name, I was trying to that brought me back to that song.
Maybe that might be his theme song when it comes out.
Hey, that'd be perfect. That'd be perfect theme song.
But yeah, the Rangers also got you know, defenseman Nick DeSimone and the fourth round pick from the Vegas Golden Knights. So the Rangers are making some moves here. Let me see what else going on here. Tomorrow is the you know, the Money in the Bank pay-per-view event. But yeah, we already gave our picks. So in case you guys want to, you know, guess what our picks are, you could always, if you haven't checked out last week's episode, you could also check that out. But yeah, today, this week on, you know, WWE, SmackDown, they finally had their audience, had the WWE Universe in attendance. You know, you have Vince McMahon, you know, kicking off the show saying, "Where you guys been?" And then Bianca Belair, she successfully defended her title for the first time in front of the WWE Universe. Trying to remember what else happened. Cesaro, he won by disqualification because Chad Gable attacked him when he was fighting Otis. I'm trying to think what else happened in that. Finn Balor, he made his return to WWE after being in NXT, I think since last year or so. He attacked Sami Zayn. Seth Rollins defeated Big E. You know, so he can build on the momentum for, you know, tomorrow's Money in the Bank match. I'm trying to think what else happened.
I missed SmackDown yesterday.
Oh, right. Yeah, you did go out, right. I'm trying to think what else happened. I can't really think of anything else major that happened on SmackDown. But on Raw, Bobby Lashley lost to Xavier Woods again. But my problem with that, I don't have a problem with Lashley losing, but he just hit the spear. And for Xavier Woods to have enough energy to hold him in a schoolboy to get the unlikeliest of pins, I don't know. That was bad writing and execution by WWE. If you're gonna have him beat him by a pinfall, you shouldn't have made him get the spear.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, Bobby Lashley at the end of the show, he was PO'd about his loss, and he's just gonna be about winning. He's not gonna have, you know, the Lashley ladies anymore. He's not gonna be celebrating all that stuff.
He thought he was gonna attack MVP.
Yeah, I thought he was going to attack MVP for real, because he was really PO'd after that loss. But it's a good thing he didn't break up the Hurt Business again for good. Trying to think what else happened on Raw. On SmackDown they had Tegan Nox and Shotzi Blackheart defeat the tag team champions Natalya and Tamina. But back to Raw. At the end of SmackDown, Edge put Roman Reigns in that cross face with the chair in his mouth to make him tap out. because they had a six-man tag team. It was Roman and his cousins versus Edge and the Mysterios in that match. Yeah, I'm trying to think what happened on Raw. What else happened on Raw? Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, I can't remember what happened on Raw either.
Yeah. You know Nikki Cross is now Nikki Ash now.
Yeah, she's a superhero.
Yeah. Supposedly the Ash is almost superhero. Which I think is dumb. They didn't have to change her name. She should have been Nikki Cross Ash. Like, come on. Yeah, I can't even remember what happened. Let me see what happened on
SmackDown.
No, yeah, I spoke about SmackDown.
Oh, yeah, you spoke about SmackDown, right.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what happened on NXT and AEW. NXT, they had what's his name? Karrion Kross, he successfully defended his title against Johnny Gargano. And then after the match, you know, Samoa Joe was the special guest referee. And Samoa Joe, he's the enforcer of NXT ever since he returned to NXT a few weeks ago after WWE released him. Triple H, you know, did everything in his power to convince Samoa Joe to return to NXT. So as a result, Samoa Joe is the enforcer to William Regal, who is about to storyline-wise. So after the match was over, after Cross defended his title, he put Samoa Joe in a submission move. I forgot. I think he called it a straitjacket or something. It's basically similar to the coquina clutch that Samoa Joe does. So he provoked him because Samoa Joe's rules, William Regal has a rule for Samoa Joe that he cannot attack Samoa Joe cannot fight anybody unless he's provoked. So now that he got attacked by Cross, now this looks like Samoa Joe is gonna come out of retirement to get his revenge.
Wow.
I'm trying to think what else happened. And NXT. Cameron Grimes, he lost the match, the In Your House match, so now he's LA Knight's, the new $1 million man's butler now. So now his worst enemy, he's working for his worst enemy now. Yeah, I can't even think of anything else. Oh, Xia Li, she challenged Kel Gonzalez for the NXT Women's title. Yeah, I can't think of anything else on NXT. AEW, MJF and Sean Spears, formerly known as Ty Dillinger, they attacked Jericho while he was cutting a promo. About, you know, Hercules 12 labor, because basically Jericho has to get past five different people of MJF's choosing, plus any stipulation of his choosing, so that he can have a shot to face MJF. So basically, Sean Spears attacked Jericho with the chair. MJF announced that this upcoming week, Fyter Fest Part 2, Jericho's going to go one-on-one against Spears. But the difference is, the stipulation is that Spears can use a chair, but Jericho can't. So if Jericho can win that match, which I think he will, fight various different types of matches to get the opportunity to get his revenge on MJF. Let's see, what else happened? Moxley, he defended his IGPW wrestling match, the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship belt against Carl Anderson. Ricky Starks, with the help of Taz's son, Hook, and Powerhouse Hobbs, they pulled a screw job on Brian Cage, and now Ricky Starks is the new FDW World Champion, even though they were all in the same group, but Brian Cage looked like he's breaking away from them, so they screwed him from the FDW title. The title to have an ECW in the 90s. Christian Cage defeated Matt Hardy. Sammy Guevara defeated Wheeler Yuta. Yuka Sasaki defeats Penelope Ford. And last but not least, Darby Allin defeated Ethan Page in a coffin match. And to end the match, Darby Allin hit his finishing move, the coffin drop, through the coffin with Ethan Page in it, locked inside of it. I don't know if you're familiar with the coffin drop. Coffin drop is like a, you know, like how people do a trust fall? Like they just fall, they fall backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And hope someone catches them.
Yeah.
Basically, he does it off the top of the turnbuckle. He falls backward. He falls like he does like a trust fall, and his back falls onto the opponent.
Oh.
And lands on the opponent. Shotzi Blackheart has a similar move from NXT, and now she's in SmackDown now. So basically, he did the coffin drop off the top rope through the coffin to end after the match was over. So that was night one of Fyter Fest, the special event they had at AEW Dynamite. By the way, they're gonna have a new show, Rampage, on Friday nights. And night two coming up this Wednesday. You're going to have Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, facing on off against the Nyla Rose for the AEW Women's World Championship. Then you're going to have a Texas Death Match for the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship. Jon Moxley is going to be defending against Lance Archer, with his manager, Jake the Snake Roberts, in his corner. Then Jericho is going to be battling against Sean Spears, which I think, you know, Jericho is going to win that one. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, let me give my predictions. Dr. Britt Baker is going to retain against Nyla Rose. Jon Moxley is going to... Will he lose to Lance Archer? That's an interesting. I think Lance Archer hasn't really won anything in AEW yet. I think Jon Moxley is going to hold on to it. He's going to retain against Archer. Jericho will defeat Spears in a chairs match. But remember, Sean Spears can use a chair, but Jericho can't. So I guess you could say it's a semi-chairs match. Orange Cassidy is gonna defeat the Blade, and then you have the Elite, the 5-on-5 tag team match, elimination match. You got the Elite, Reform, Kenny Omega, Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks, and the Good Brothers, Doc Gallows and Anderson, Carl Anderson, versus Adam Page and the Dark Order, which has Evil Uno, Stu Grayson, Alex Reynolds, and John Silver. Let's see. If Page and Dark Order wins, he and two members of the Dark Order will receive matches for both the AEW World Championship and the AEW World Tag Team Championships, respectively. So, yeah, definitely, with that on the line, definitely Paige and the Dark Order is going to win because, yeah, they've been perfectly setting up Paige versus Omega. You know, they were former tag team champions in the Elite. I think it would be a beautiful story told. Hangman Page, you know, he left the group, the Elite, battling his alcohol problems that he had, and now he's focused and he's gonna try to win the AEW championship against his former tag team partner, in Kenny Omega. So yeah, I think Page and the Dark Order, you know, Brody Lee, the late Brody Lee's group, you know, they're gonna get that victory. Anything you'd like to say, Matt, before we head out?
No, just check out my podcast. Check your local listings for IMAC. And just come back here next week. Check out Sports Urban Legend, only on Box Talk Radio.
You heard the guy. You know, check out Mac's podcast, IMAC. And check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And also come back next Saturday and check out Sports Urban Legend with me, William Ramo, and Macaulay Matthew. And, of course, we'll be back Saturdays at 11 on Block Talk Radio. So thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this episode. We really appreciate you spending your Saturday night / early Saturday, very extremely early Saturday morning with us. Or I should say Sunday morning with us, because now it's Sunday. Of course, we'll give you the review of the Money in the Bank match. Again, if you want to check out my review, what me and Mac thought, check out last week's episode. Again, I want to thank you, Mac, for coming on. And I want to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this show. And we will see you next week. Peace.